Today's scripture reading comes from Colossians chapter 1, verse 10. We will read together. And increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy.
Good morning. Before we go into today's message, let's open up in prayer. Holy Father, we have now gathered here to receive the truth of your word, which is your mind towards us revealed. And so this is indeed the very word of God. And we pray, Lord God, that our receiving of your word would be for the benefit of our walk, that through your word we would more and more so walk in a manner worthy of you, in all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, just as your word teaches us. And so now, Lord God, we pray that you would bless us to that end, we who are your people, for your glory in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'd like to remind everyone that we're continuing with our series in Colossians, picking up where we left off last week in the first chapter of this epistle, moving on to the second half of verse 10 to verse 11. If you recall from our previous message, we learned that once Paul had heard that the gospel was bearing fruit among the Colossians, he began to pray a great request on their behalf. And that request is in verse 9 of this chapter from last week's text. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. He began to constantly pray that the Colossian believers would be filled with the knowledge of God's revealed will. More than just accumulating intellectual knowledge of what Scripture teaches about God's will, Paul prayed that the believers at Colossae would be filled with the knowledge of God's will as it is revealed in Scripture. A person who is filled with wine is drunk. He is powerfully under wine's influence. A person who is filled with the knowledge of God's will is powerfully under the influence of God's will. His or her heart is mightily moved, stirred, and constrained by the knowledge of God's will as it permeates every aspect of his or her life. And the result of such filling is that the believer, as we learned in last week's text, begins to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work. That was verse 10 of this chapter. Let me read that one more time. Walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work. From the highly visible works of ministry we participate in, to the mundane decisions we make within the privacy of our own families, to the inner attitudes hidden within our hearts, the believer seeks to be fully pleasing to God. They bear fruit in every good work, great and small, because they are filled with the knowledge of God's will, mightily under its all-encompassing influence. Well, as we reconsider what we learned last week, do we as believers find the prospect of walking in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work, a laborious and intimidating notion? Well, if that's the case, our problem is that while we may understand what God's Word teaches about His will for us, we are not filled with the knowledge of God's will. When Paul heard of the conversion of these Colossian believers, he began to pray that the revealed will of God will become so glorious and weighty to their hearts that they will be moved and stirred up to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. He prayed that they will be filled with the knowledge of His will. So if Paul began to pray this way for the Colossian believers, shouldn't we also pray this way for our brothers in Christ, and especially for ourselves? How many Christians waste many of their prayers asking for things to spend on their worldly passions? James 4:2-3, you covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. That's wasted prayer. In contrast, the prayer Paul prayed on behalf of the Colossians is a prayer always worth praying. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work. You can be sure, when this kind of prayer is prayed in faith, that such a prayer is in accord with God's will. And what does Scripture teach us about prayer that is done in accordance with God's will? 1 John 5:14, and this is the confidence that we have toward Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. So as we learned last week and reemphasized today, let's pray this kind of prayer for our brethren and for ourselves. We can be sure that if we pray this kind of prayer in faith as believers in Christ Jesus, that this kind of prayer is in accord with God's will and He hears us. Now, in today's text, we open by considering the remainder of verse 10, where we left off last week. So let's read the second half of verse 10 in its immediate context. So we're going to read it from verse 9. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work, that's where we left off last week, and increasing in the knowledge of God. To walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, not only involves bearing fruit in every good work, but also increasing in the knowledge of God. The Apostle Paul prayed for the Colossian believers that they would be powerfully influenced by the knowledge of God's will, so they would live in a manner worthy of the Lord, bearing fruit in every good work, and also increasing in the knowledge of God. So what's the connection between walking in a manner worthy of the Lord and increasing in the knowledge of God? Well, once again, we ask, who is our Lord? Our Lord is our Father, who foreknew us as his own, chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, and predestined us for salvation through him. As he foreknew his own Son, so he foreknew us. As he loved his Son from all eternity, so he loved us in his Son from all eternity. Out of his everlasting love for us, did God, at his own appointed time, take away the futility of our minds, enlighten our understanding to the gospel of his Son, and banish the ignorance that was in us due to the hardness of our hearts. We did nothing to merit this. He gave us life out of his grace alone. Ephesians 2, 4 to 5, but God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Having liberated us from the futility of our minds and the hardness of our hearts by his grace, so that we can comprehend the unsearchable riches of Christ and grow in the knowledge of the things of God, how could we ever say that all we care to know as believers is the bare minimum, the 1, 2, 3s and the ABCs of the gospel? To walk in a manner worthy of the Lord involves bearing fruit in every good work and what? Increasing in the knowledge of God. That's the life that is lived in a manner worthy of the Lord. So as believers, we should never excuse our unwillingness to increase in the knowledge of God, saying something like, well, I know the basics of the gospel, and that's good enough for me. Jesus died for my sins. He rose again. Whoever believes in him has everlasting life. I'm forgiven. My soul is secure. I'm going to heaven when I die. All I'm interested in are these basics. I don't think I need to learn anything beyond the bare minimum. I mean, make no mistakes. Those are incredibly important truths, saving truths. But those are the basics. And we should never excuse our unwillingness to increase in the knowledge of God simply because we understand the basics. In fact, to adopt such an attitude is to retard our spiritual growth to such an extent that we never really reach spiritual maturity. In fact, Scripture teaches believers to adopt the exact opposite attitude to that which I just expressed. Hebrews 5:12 to Hebrews 6:1. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity. I wonder how many people have been believers for many years, or even decades, and are still babies in their spiritual development. Given the length of time that they've been Christians, they should be mature enough by now to be teachers. Instead, they have spent all their lives as Christians subsisting on milk. Or as we read in Hebrews 6, verse 12, the basic principles of the oracles of God, the elementary doctrine of Christ. They're not prepared to take in solid food because of their underdeveloped knowledge of God's word. Verse 13 of Hebrews 5. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. The difference between a child and an adult is that the adult, among many other different things, has discernment, which a child lacks. Anyone who's a parent knows that. Little children lack discernment. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Children have trouble distinguishing between good and evil. And as a result, are susceptible to deception and falsehood, being taken advantage of. Their powers of discernment are weak. So it's not good for believers to remain as spiritually immature children indefinitely. We all start there. But eventually we got to grow beyond there. As we read in Hebrews 6, for as long as believers insist on living on milk, they remain unskilled in the word of righteousness. And for as long as they are unskilled in God's word, they will lack a mature sense of spiritual discernment. And as a result, spiritual children are vulnerable to wolves in sheep's clothing, the false prophets who take on the appearance of Christian teachers but are inwardly ravenous wolves. Read Matthew 7, 15 to 20 to learn more about what Jesus says about that. But as we increase in the knowledge of God and become proficient in our handling of the word of righteousness, we grow out of spiritual childhood and into maturity. We no longer subsist strictly on milk, on the elementary doctrine of Christ, but are now nourished by the solid food of God's word. Constant study and reliance upon the solid food of God's word has trained our powers of discernment to distinguish good from evil. We can reliably discern the deceptive and unsound words of false prophets from the pattern of sound words that are faithful to the apostolic gospel, the one true gospel. We're no longer vulnerable to being, as Ephesians 4:14 puts it, carried about by every wind of doctrine, no matter who it comes from, as we once were when we were little children in the faith. Furthermore, we were able to look out for the spiritual children and babies who are around us and protect them from the wolves in sheep's clothing who are out to prey on them and lead them astray. And even beyond that, we ourselves are prepared to teach our brethren as we have become skilled in the word of righteousness. Not only do the mature have a well-developed sense of spiritual discernment and are therefore capable of teaching, but they also become stable in the midst of life's many waves, don't we want to be stable? We need to mature. This is what Ephesians 4:11-14 says about maturity. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves. That sometimes feel like our life. We're tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. We need to grow out of spiritual infancy and childhood so that we may no longer be tossed to and fro by the waves. Imagine a small rowboat floating in the ocean amid a storm. It's tossed to and fro by the waves, one after another. Sometimes it looks like the boat is on the verge of being flipped over and submerged by the waves. But by the grace of God, it remains afloat as the storm calms and the waves subside. Well, that's a picture of the spiritually immature. When the storms of life come, they're tossed to and fro by the waves. They're shaken by them, sometimes quite badly. Sometimes even looks like their faith is about to capsize. But God's grace sees them through. Thank the Lord. But now I want you to imagine something else. Imagine the same stormy ocean, but instead of a rowboat, picture a large coastal rock on the seashore. The waves rise up and crash against the coastal rock, one after another. The rock, stable, unmoved. That's a picture of those who have grown out of spiritual childhood and into maturity. They're not like the immature who are frantic as the waves come. Their faith rattled and peace shaken with each passing wave. The waves of life break upon the mature, and yet by the grace of God, their faith stands steadfast and firm, along with their joy, peace, and thanksgiving. What kind of life is that? That's the kind of life that is worthy of the Lord. That is the kind of life that glorifies Him. We want to gauge spiritual maturity. One of the ways that we can is to look at how a person handles the waves of life. They remind you of the rowboat being tossed to and fro, or the coastal rock upon which the waves break. If the gospel has borne fruit in our lives, if we are born again and trust in Christ, we should aspire to grow out of spiritual childhood and into maturity. And in order to do that, we must, as our text teaches us for today, increase in the knowledge of God, gain proficiency in the word of righteousness, be weaned off of a diet of milk, and begin to digest the solid food of God's revealed will, His gospel. Let's pray that for one another. Let's pray that for ourselves. How often, if we're believers today, as we assess our own prayer lives, are we praying prayers like this? by the grace of God, we have been given the spiritual life, power, and means necessary to grow out of childhood and into maturity. And as we pointed out just a few moments ago, it is living a spiritually mature life that is the kind of life that is worthy of our Lord and brings glory to Him. So the Apostle Paul prayed for Colossian believers that they will not only continue to increase in the knowledge of God, but also, look at verse 11, that they will be strengthened with all power. And increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power, according to His glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy. Now you notice that Paul prayed that the Colossians would be strengthened not just with power, but with all power. That's important. Not just power, but all power. Why does he phrase it like that? Well, the answer is evident as we read on in verse 11. Being strengthened with all power, according to His glorious might, for all endurance. All power is necessary for all endurance. Paul prayed that the Colossian believers would be strengthened by God's power for all endurance. See, he knew that the Colossians would face all kinds of trials, afflictions, hardships, tribulations, persecutions throughout their lives. To persevere in faith amid all these various difficulties and trials that they would endure, they needed to be strengthened with all the power from God that they needed. And God supplies that power to believers. Because His power, as we read in verse 11 of our text, is according to His glorious might. And if we look at a passage like Ephesians, or a verse like Ephesians 1:19, we see a similar description of God's power. This is what we read there from verse 19 to 21 of Ephesians 1. And what is the immeasurable greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His great might? Verse 11 of our text says, glorious might, His glorious might. Ephesians 1:19 says, great might. According to the working of His great might that He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and above every name that is named, not only in this age but also in the one to come. What are we reading there? We're reading that God's power towards believers is the same power that raised Christ from the dead. And what is the immeasurable greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His great might that He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead? That power is the same power with which God strengthens believers for all endurance. And you see the immeasurable greatness of God's power at work in the life of a woman named Blandina, who was from the time of the early church. Her martyrdom was recorded by Eusebius and paraphrased in John Fox's Book of Martyrs. I'll read that paraphrase out of his book. Blandina, a Christian lady of a weak constitution, was not thought to be able to resist torture, but whose fortitude was so great that her tormentors became exhausted with their devilish work. Blandina was torn by the lions, scourged, and put into a net and tossed about by a wild bull, and placed naked into a red-hot metal chair. When she could speak, she exhorted all near her to hold fast to their faith. When Blandina's torturers were unable to make her recant her faith, they killed her with a sword. That's the immeasurable greatness of God's power. When we are strengthened by all power from God, we're able to endure all things for Him. Those who are naturally weak and frail will be strengthened to endure the worst torments, the likes of which our sister Blandina endured for Christ's name. Those with a naturally shy and timid personality will be strengthened to endure the opposition of the world and courageously stand by Christ. Those who are by nature sensitive to the words of others, easily hurt by what people say to them, well, they will be strengthened to hold fast to the faith, although horrifically insulted and slandered for the gospel. That's what it means to be strengthened with all power for all endurance. There are run-of-the-mill trials. We go through them all the time. And then there are extraordinary trials. Paul prayed for the Colossian believers that they will be strengthened with all power for all endurance. He prayed that they will be strengthened for enduring all kinds of trials, mild, severe. Not just so that they would persevere in faith, and that's, of course, incredibly important, but so that they would persevere in faith with patience, with joy, for all endurance and patience with joy. As we pointed out in the past, especially throughout this series, the Christian life is not a life of immediate gratification. There is much that is promised to us in our salvation which remains in the realm of hope. So we need patience. Total relief from the miseries of sin is coming. Not yet, not in this life. But it's coming. It's promised to us for the next. Our revealing as sons of God is coming. The redemption of our bodies is coming. The manifest rule of Jesus our King and the consummation of His kingdom in the new heavens and the new earth is coming. The freedom of the glory of the children of God, as Romans 8:21 puts it, is coming. What do as believers? We wait for it with patience. Only those who finish the race by keeping their faith in Christ, which God has given to them as a gift, only those who finish the race by keeping the faith will receive the promised inheritance and the comfort of the gospel is that if God has given us, truly and genuinely has given us the gift of faith, we will finish the race. Why? Because we are strengthened with all power for all endurance those who do not keep the faith till the end, they're just exposing the fact that they never truly possessed saving faith in Christ. It's just a phase. Paul prays that the Colossian believers would be empowered not only with patience, but patience with joy. How do we promote that joy in our own lives? Well, meditate on what is promised to us every day, often. Enjoy the first fruits of what is promised to us as we enjoy the gift of life and all its spiritual fruit produced in us. As we enjoy the illumination of the unsearchable riches of Christ, which has been granted to us by God's Spirit through His Word. Enjoy fellowship with God and His household of faith as members of His church. But always remember that these are only a foretaste of the fullness that is to come. Relish our brethren in Christ today. We'll one day see them, and they will see us in unimaginable glory as we dwell together in the kingdom of our God when our Lord returns. And as we groan for what we're waiting for, rejoice, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy. To walk in a manner worthy of our Lord is not living in gloom and misery because of the things we don't have and the unfair things done to us and all the regrets that we may have in life. That's not to walk in a manner worthy of our Lord. To walk in a manner worthy of our Lord is a life lived in patience with joy as we look forward to the immeasurable glory that is on its way, that is promised to us. Paul prayed this for our brothers long ago in the ancient city of Colossae. Shouldn't we pray this for each other and for ourselves today? This is the kind of life that we're meant to live in Christ. This is the kind of life God desires of us as believers. A life of spiritual maturity, stable and steadfast as we increase in the knowledge of God. A life wherein we are strengthened with all power for all endurance and patience with joy. Let's pray. Holy Father, insofar as what has been preached from this pulpit is in keeping with Your Word and is the product of Your Spirit's illumination, we pray that we who are Your people may listen, may apply the truth of Your gospel to our lives so that we may increase in the knowledge of God. And through that, be strengthened with all power, according to Your glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy. And so we pray that today's message will be conducive and beneficial to that end. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.